You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, church, and happy Sunday. It's so good to be with you this morning. Wasn't that worship awesome this morning? Yes. Hey, welcome to all of you. I want to say a special welcome to our first-time guests today. If you're joining us for the first time, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to be with you online. We're joined by our studio audience, our worship and production team. You ought to give these guys some love in the comments for all that they do to make this broadcast happen. So good to be with you this morning. Just before we get into the message, I want to invite you to tune in next Sunday for a brand new series that we're kicking off for Advent. Can you believe it? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Here it comes, and we're going to prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of our Savior. So join us next Sunday for the first day of Advent as we kick off Advent 2020. But today we're wrapping up the series that we've been in for the past 5 weeks called Kingdom Citizen. And we've covered a lot of territory in this series. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about what it means for us as followers of Jesus Christ to realize that we belong to a different kingdom, that we have a different king. And so we've talked about how to be gracious with others. We've talked about how we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We've talked about how we always represent Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ. Last week, we talked about how we're under God. We're always under some influence. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we choose to place ourselves under God. Today, I want to talk to you about something that I really believe has the potential to change your life. I want to talk to you about gratitude. Gratitude. Here's the idea. Kingdom citizens are people who are marked by gratitude. Kingdom citizens are marked by gratitude. This is one of the characteristics that we see the people of God are called to all throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament. As followers of Christ, we're called to embrace and embody this characteristic of gratitude. Well, it's the week of Thanksgiving, and I think this is just what we need. This is perfect timing because we've been through a heck of a year. Come on, to say that this has been a difficult year would be a gross understatement. We've been through a global pandemic. We're still going through it. We've been through racial tensions at an all-time high in our nation, and we've gone through a very divisive election that's ruined social media. Come on, can we make social media great again? Can we get back to just posting some pictures of puppies and cute children on Facebook? Please, somebody help me. Some of us, you parents out there, you're homeschooling your children and having to relearn fifth grade math. Lord, help all of us. It has been a heck of a year. And now 2020 is even trying to mess with my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. We're being told we have to limit Thanksgiving celebrations. Got to have less than 10 people. Don't mess with my Thanksgiving. I've told y'all before, I'm pretty sure that Thanksgiving is what heaven is going to be like. We're going to watch football, and we're going to eat all we want, and we're not going to gain weight. Can I get an amen? Somebody, I'm telling you, that's what heaven's going to be like. But even the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree has had enough of 2020. Come on, have you guys seen this? I mean, the poor thing's pitiful looking. That is the most, like, decrepit-looking tree I've ever seen. Come on, we're going to pray for the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. It's going to get there. It's going to make it. But I think it's a metaphor for 2020. Well, seriously, you know, let's be serious for a moment. Depression and anxiety are on the rise. The loneliness that many people are experiencing is real right now. There are economic challenges all around us, and maybe some of you are experiencing some economic hardship right now. The uncertainty is creeping back in, I think, for all of us, and many of us are just feeling weary as this difficult season drags on. So here's the question. What do we do? Like, what do we do? How do we get through this as this difficult season drags out? How many of you would like to know what God's will is, right smack in the middle of all this right now? You'd like to know, what is God's will? Like, how does God want me to get through this? What does he want me to do about all of this? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. In fact, we're going to look at a scripture where the Apostle Paul talks about that very thing, and it's found in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to these Christians who are living in the Greek city of Thessalonica. They're living in this pagan Greek city, and they're experiencing persecution. I mean, they're experiencing some real threats, some real pressure, some real difficulties because of their faith, some real hardships, maybe even being physically threatened. You might say they're having a really bad year like we are. And Paul reminds them of God's will. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says to the Thessalonians, in the midst of all that they're going through, he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances? Yes. Give thanks even in the midst of persecution? Paul says, yes, give thanks. Even in the midst of a global pandemic? Yes. Even in the midst of economic uncertainty? Yes. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Come on, I came to church today to give you some hope, to give you some encouragement, to help you know God's will. And here it is, and we're going to put it into practice. What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this difficult season? How are we going to hold on to hope? What does God require of us? What does he want from us? What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to, number one, rejoice always. Come on, let's get our notes out today. Maybe you want to open up your phone, open up the Redemption app. Let's put these ideas down. Number one, we're going to rejoice always. Now, this word rejoice comes from the Greek word in the New Testament. It's the word kairo, which is actually the same root word that's translated grace in the New Testament. So these words are really similar. Rejoice and grace come from the same root word. In other words, to rejoice is to delight in God's grace. It's literally to experience God's grace, to experience God's favor, to be conscious of his grace. So to rejoice is literally to regrace. It's to regrace. To rejoice is to celebrate and to be mindful of the grace of God. I love the scripture, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are made new every morning. You can regrace. You can rejoice every day. And I love this idea that rejoicing isn't something forced. It's not something we're just psyching ourselves up to do. This isn't self-help. We're not just trying to do something here. This is based on the grace of God. It's not based on our feelings. Come on, how do you know that you know, for most people, it's easy to be happy when circumstances are good. When circumstances are going good, it's easy for us to be happy. But for Christians, our joy is not dependent on circumstances. It's based on something that Christ has already done for us, the finished work of the cross. It's based on his love. It's based on his grace. It's based on his mercy, which is unchanging and unconstant. His mercy is made new every morning. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? No matter what happened yesterday, no matter what kind of day you had yesterday, no matter how bad it was, how bad you sinned, how bad you lost your temper and you crashed and burned, you woke up today and his mercies were made new for you. Come on, sign me up for my daily distribution of God's grace. Sign me up for my daily distribution of his mercy. It's new every day. It's renewed every day. And so I can rejoice no matter what my circumstances are, because it's based on the mercy of God. It's based on the goodness of God. So we can rejoice whether we have a good report or a bad report. You can rejoice in good times or bad times, whether there's money in the bank or there's lack. No matter what you're facing right now, we can rejoice because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your joy isn't based on your circumstances. Come on, how many of you know circumstances change? Circumstances come and go, the good and the bad, they ebb and they flow. But for us as Christians, Christian joy, it's rooted in the person of Jesus Christ, the embodiment of God's grace in his love, in his mercy. And I got good news for you. Jesus is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his mercies are made new for you today so you can rejoice. Somebody ought to give me an amen. Somebody ought to give me some heart emojis right about now because we need to rejoice, church. All right, what are we going to do? We're talking about what we're going to do in this season. What is God calling us to make it through this difficult time we're living in? First, we're going to rejoice always. Number two, we're going to pray continually. Somebody just preach it out loud. Pray continually. Preach to someone in your living room. Type it in the comments. We're going to pray continually. Remember what we learned a few weeks ago in our Anxious for Nothing series. If you were with us during that series, we said that anxiety is a signal alerting us that it's time to pray. It's a signal alerting us that it's time to pray. Anxiety is not a signal alerting you that it's time to go eat a whole gallon of ice cream. You might feel that way. It's not a signal reminding you that it's time to freak out and lose your temper and go off on everybody. No, anxiety is a signal alerting you that it's time to pray. Remember our scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. There's the rejoice always part. Come on, we're putting this into practice. There's the rejoice always part. Now skip to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Some translations say be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In every situation, right? In every situation, no matter what the circumstances are, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If it's on your heart, it's on God's heart. If it's on your mind, it's on the mind of God. And so we're going to pray in every situation. But notice this again. Let's look at it. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with what? With worry, with doubt, with fear? No, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't forget to add the thanksgiving part. The thanksgiving part is the secret sauce. The power is in the thanksgiving. Because what happens sometimes is sometimes in our prayers, we just worry out loud to God. Sometimes we go into a time of prayer and there's so much on our hearts and we're just kind of worrying out loud to God. Now, don't get me wrong. God can handle your worries. If you ever read the Psalms, God can handle your doubts. God can handle you, even your frustration and with him. And so sometimes we worry out loud, but we forget to add the thanksgiving part. Come on. You can open your heart to God. You can let it all out. But in the midst of it, at some point in time, add thanksgiving. Begin to recount the faithfulness of God. Begin to recount the goodness of God. Begin to remember the times like, God, I'm not going to forget, even though I'm going through this. God, I'm going to remember that you have been faithful. God, I'm going to remember that you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. You've always been with me. God, you've always provided. I've been here before. And as you begin to remember the faithfulness of God, that's where you experience the peace of God. See, gratitude is what causes us to have the breakthrough to where we experience the peace of God. It's thanksgiving that unlocks the peace of God. So as you pray, include thanksgiving. Petition God. Go after him. Pray to him, but include thanksgiving in everything, and it unlocks the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Here's the third thing. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to rejoice always. We can rejoice always. We're going to pray continually. We're going to pray. Number three, we're going to give thanks in all circumstances. We're going to give thanks in all circumstances. How do we do this? In all circumstances? Like, is this something we just force ourselves to do? Like, thank you, God, you know, that I'm in Target and my child has diarrhea. Thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord, for this flat tire on the way to this really important meeting. God, thank you that my boss just chewed me out. Is this force? Is this like fake spirituality? No. I'm not saying that doing this is going to change your circumstances, but I'll tell you one thing. Gratitude will always change you. Gratitude will always change you. It may not change your circumstances, but it'll always change you. So what are we going to do? We're going to give thanks. We're going to practice gratitude in all circumstances. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you three benefits of practicing gratitude daily. Okay, if you're not taking notes, this is a good time to start taking notes because this is really going to help somebody today. Three benefits of practicing gratitude daily, because we want to make this a part of who we are. We want to make this a daily habit. So here's the first one. Number one, here's what you have to know. Here's the first benefit. Gratitude shifts your perspective. Gratitude shifts your perspective. You know, many of the things that we complain about are actually blessings. Some of the things that we complain about the most are actually our greatest blessings. It's just a matter of perspective. So, you know, me and Amy, our house is a good old Westchester fixer-upper. We've had our house for about 2 years now, and it's a work in progress. We've come a long way with it as we're renovating it, but it's still a work in progress. And downstairs, our downstairs basement it's really old school. It's like a time warp into 1968 when you step into our downstairs basement. It's blue everything, blue tile, blue toilet. It's just bad. And so we've had a toilet down there, this really old toilet that runs some time. And the other day I was actually leaving to go to a wedding rehearsal. And my middle son, Michael, said, hey, Dad, I think there's some water running downstairs. Well, I went downstairs, and here I am getting ready to walk out the door. I go downstairs, and there's the toilet's just gushing water. It's just like overflowing everywhere. And there's an inch of sewer water in the bathroom. Not clean water, like, yeah, the worst kind of water possible. Just sitting in there, and it's just starting to overflow from the bathroom into the hallway. Like, if Michael hadn't caught my attention, after a few minutes, my whole basement would have been flooded. It was bad. And so I called my good friend from church, John Sarah. He came over to help me out, and then we got a plumber there, and then we spent the night, like, cleaning up and mucking out the bathroom, and it stunk, and it was, yeah, you can picture, it was a bad situation. And it was already one of those weeks where, like, things were breaking around the house. The toilet upstairs was clogging, you know, life with three kids. And so I was having those weeks where I was ready to, like, burn the house down and make it look like an accident and just claim the insurance. Like, I'm done with this house. I'm going to claim the insurance and move to Florida and just be done with it. And in the midst of my complaining about this house, this fixer-upper, you know, the Lord just took me back to a place, and he reminded me of when I first moved to Westchester, and it was a stretch to just be able to make rent, just to live by faith, to pay rent, and the idea of buying a house in Westchester seemed so far away from me, and God just reminded me that the very thing that I was complaining about was my blessing. Come on, my problem was actually my blessing. The very thing I was complaining about was actually the blessing that I was living in, this house that God has given to me, and so I had to stop and say, Lord, you're right, thank you. You know, thank you, Lord, that I even have this house. Thank you for my 1968 bathroom. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you that I own a house in Westchester. Come on, how many of you know that most of the things that we complain about are actually our greatest blessings in life? In fact, I came across this this picture that somebody posted on Facebook a while back. Maybe some of you guys have seen this, and it's actually a handwritten list of things that we normally complain about that are actually blessings. I love this. It says, number one, I'm grateful for early wake-ups, which means children to love. Number two, a house to clean. Come on, how often do we complain about cleaning the house? It means a safe place to live. Laundry. Laundry means clothes to wear. Dishes to wash. Come on, how many of you complain about doing the dishes? It means you had food to eat. Crumbs under the table. Family meals. Grocery shopping means there was money to provide for us. Toilets to clean. There's the toilets. Toilets to clean means we have indoor plumbing. Come on, we're thankful at the Ziegler House for indoor plumbing, even though it doesn't always work. Number eight, lots of noise. People in my life. Endless questions about homework. Come on, parents, where are you at? Who are homeschooling your kids right now? Means the kids' brains are growing. There's the bright side. Sore and tired in bed, I'm still alive. Amen. I love that list. I love that list because there's just so much perspective in it that so many of the things that we find ourselves complaining about are actually blessings in our lives. And I know that when I find myself complaining, when I find myself getting in a rut complaining that way, I know it's time to practice gratitude. I know it's time to practice gratitude, to just stop and begin to give thanks for God's blessings in my life. It always shifts my perspective. It always corrects my perspective. So this is something you got to do. So we're talking about the benefits of practicing gratitude daily. Number one is gratitude will shift your perspective. Number two, gratitude unlocks your worship. Gratitude unlocks your worship. Here's the truth. Gratitude is actually the essence of worship. The essence of worship is actually gratitude. You know, last week we talked about how as kingdom citizens, we're submitted to our king. We're under the rule and the reign of God as our king. But here's the idea. We're not submitted to God out of obligation. We're not submitted to God because this is something we have to do because this king is lording over us. No, we're submitted to God out of gratitude. Our worship is actually a response to God for all that he's done in light of his grace, in light of his goodness, in light of his mercy, in light of Jesus giving himself for us fully on the cross. We respond, right? We make our lives, every part of our lives, we give back to God as an act of worship. You know, religion is really about obligation, isn't it? Think about that. Religion is really about obligation. It's all these things that I have to do. You know, I have to go to church. I have to give in the offering. I have to pray. I have to forgive this person, blah, blah, blah. It's obligation. It's obligation. But you know that the gospel is completely different. The gospel operates on a different principle. The gospel isn't about obligation. The gospel says, I'm accepted by God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, I obey. Therefore, I worship. See, religion says, if I do all of these things, God is going to accept me. God is going to be happy with me. God is going to be pleased with me. But the gospel flips that and turns it on its head. The gospel says, I'm accepted by God through Jesus Christ. Before I did anything, we love him because he first loved us, and therefore I obey. Therefore, I respond by giving my life back to God in worship. I don't have to worship. I get to worship. I don't have to serve. I get to serve. Come on, I'm like a good Chick-fil-A employee. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to serve God. It's my pleasure to pray. It's my pleasure to love and to worship. See, that's what gratitude does. It changes the way you see your relationship with God. It's because of the gratitude that we have for all that God has done for us that we begin to worship. You know, yesterday, we had volunteers get out and serve in projects all around Portchester for our fall serve event. People were, you know, boxing up Thanksgiving meals and preparing them for delivery, and some people were dropping them off, and we had people sorting winter clothes for donations for people in need, and it was a joy to do it. Nobody was there under obligation. Nobody was there grumbling because we had to do it. No, it was a joy to do it because we did it as an act of worship. It was actually fun. Let me ask you this question. For those of you who have a significant other, maybe you married people. Remember when you first fell in love? Come on, remember when you first fell in love? It was a joy to do for the person you loved. It was a joy to do for your beloved. I remember when Amy and I started dating in college, I would do just crazy things. Like I would go to her work and just wait for her to get out of work. I'd go buy her favorite chocolate cake and I would just sit in the parking lot because I couldn't wait to surprise her when she came out of work. I remember one time it was raining in the parking lot and I knew she was getting ready to get out of class and I drove over in my car with my umbrella just waiting for her to get out of class because, you know, come on, I wanted to make sure that my girl didn't get wet and I had my umbrella. And I couldn't wait to do things like that for her. Now she can barely get me to screw in a light bulb. It's like, come on, can I get anything out of you? But come on, when love is fresh like that, right? It's not a chore to do something for your beloved. I remember when I went to Jerusalem, I met a rabbi who was teaching us about worship, and he said it's not a chore to do for your beloved. Like we serve God out of love. We don't have to. We get to. We get to serve. We get to love. We get to pray. We get to give our lives back to Him. And when you practice gratitude, it will unlock your worship. Keep gratitude right at the center of your life, and you will find just worship naturally flowing out of your life. I hope this is helping you this morning. Come on, I'm giving you three benefits of practicing gratitude on a daily basis. Here's the third one. Number three, gratitude reminds us that everything we have is a gift. Everything we have is a gift. Not only does it shift your perspective, not only does it unlock your worship, but when you practice gratitude on a daily basis, it'll begin to remind you that everything in your life is actually a gift. Look at what the Apostle James said in James chapter 1, verse 17. He said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Come on, God doesn't change. God doesn't shift like our circumstances. In fact, every good thing in our lives, whether we realize it or not, whether we're conscious of it or not, every good thing in our lives is actually a gift from our good God. But you know what naturally happens for us? We naturally drift toward thinking of what we have as something that we're entitled to. That's what we do. We naturally drift toward an entitlement mentality rather than thinking of the things that we have in our life as being a gift. We naturally drift toward this idea of, well, I really worked hard for this. I earned this. I worked for this. Like, I deserve this. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a certain amount of dignity you should have for your hard work. There's a certain amount of healthy pride where you take pride in your hard work. But oh, how quickly we forget that everything that we have is a gift from God. How quickly we forget this idea that every good and perfect gift is actually from above, that God is the one who's blessed us. Let me put it to you this way. Think about the difference between receiving a gift and receiving your paycheck. How many of you, when direct deposit, you know, hits your bank account on payday, how many of you write your boss an email and say, thank you so much for my paycheck? Anybody? No. Because why? Because you feel entitled to it. Because you work hard for it. Most of you feel like my boss should be paying me even more. And yes, you have worked hard for it. Now think about the difference when somebody gives you a gift. When somebody gives you a gift, how do you respond? You're thankful, right? There's an immediate gratitude because you recognize it's a gift. You didn't have to get this for me. You spent money on me that you didn't have to spend on me. You were thinking of me. This is an expression of your love. Well, thank you so much. Now imagine if you gave someone a gift and when they received it, they were like, well, thank you for this gift because I deserve this. I've been a really good friend to you. I was expecting this. I mean, I've been a really faithful friend and I'm the kind of person you should buy a gift for. You'd be like, you can take your gift and shove it. Let's be honest, right? Because we know there's a difference here, right? One, the paycheck involves entitlement, something that we've earned. But a gift has nothing to do with something that's earned. A gift is a gift, right? And so there's gratitude there because it's something freely given to us. Gratitude makes everything a gift. Listen to me. Get this in your heart. Get this in your mind today. When you practice gratitude, it begins to cause you to see everything in your life as a gift, even the things that you naturally feel entitled to. It'll begin to help you see it as a gift from God. And so what happens is we naturally drift toward entitlement. We stray over into entitlement. And when we do that, when we get into an entitlement mindset, we can begin holding on to everything really tight. We can start holding on to everything like this because we fear it being taken away from us. And it can even affect us in the good times. It can even affect our joy in the good times. In fact, this is what Dr. Brené Brown, who's the best-selling author and famous researcher, this is what she calls foreboding joy. Foreboding joy. Have you ever found yourself asking, what could go wrong? I mean, even in a good season of life, like things are going too well. I know it's 2020, but you know, when things are going really good, like things are going too good right now, what's around the corner? Like what's about to happen that's going to mess this all up? Like just when things kind of calm down in the middle of this crazy COVID year, right? Do you ever feel like what's coming next? Yeah, that's the feeling of what Dr. Brené Brown would call foreboding joy, that we can't even enjoy the good times because we're so worried about something coming into our lives and taking it away from us. But you know what the antidote to that is? You know what will change your life? Gratitude. When you practice gratitude daily, it reminds you that everything in your life is a gift. And because it's a gift, I don't have to hold on to it tightly. I can live open-handed. God, you gave it to me in the first place. Every good and perfect gift is in my life is from you, my good God. And so you begin to live with this posture of your hands being open, like freely I've received, freely I can give. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I'm not holding on to everything. I'm not living in fear because you're my good God, and you're the one who gave these gifts to me in the first place. Can I just be honest with you this morning? The past few months, I'm sure like many of you, I've been tempted to have dread at times. I've been tempted to experience this foreboding joy. Like even when things are good, I'm worried about what's coming next. It's been that kind of year. You know, when COVID first hit months ago and our church had to shut down and go fully online, there was a sense of fear there. We're going to lose everything. And as it dragged on, you know, like, what's going to happen? Are we going to lose our church? And then we were trying to find a place to even to meet again as the theater wasn't open. And there was this sense of, is it going to fall apart? What's going to happen? And now we're back to being online again. And at different times throughout this year, I've been tempted to let my mind go to that place of what could go wrong? What could happen? How bad could it get? And I've been tempted to dread. But can I just tell you this morning what's kept me? Can I just tell you what's held me? Can I just tell you what's gotten me through this season? It's practicing gratitude. It's the power of gratitude. It's the daily discipline of gratitude. Come on, if you know my story, you know I shouldn't even be here. Those of you who know our story, you know that when Amy and I moved here with our family back in 2014, there wasn't anybody here. There wasn't a church. There was nobody here waiting for us. It was me. Amy was pregnant and our two boys, and that was it. And so for me, everything in my life that's happened the past few years is a miracle. I'll tell you one thing. On Sunday morning before we got shut down, I never took for granted when people came streaming into that theater, when hundreds of people would come together and worship. I never took that for granted for one Sunday because for me, it was always a gift. And I tell my kids all the time at the dinner table, guys, you're walking around in a miracle. Guys, you're living in a miracle. Everything in our life is a gift. We wouldn't be here if God hadn't shown up. And I'm telling you, that's what'll get you through. It's gratitude that'll get you through. I've come to see everything in my life as a gift. God, this home you gave me is a gift. God, this church you gave me is a gift. God, this income I have is a gift. God, the friends and the family and the church family, God, they're all a gift from you. And so, God, I can live open-handed and give it all back to you because none of it was mine in the first place. And if my circumstances change, I can still rejoice because, God, you are good and your mercies are made new every morning. And so I've learned to begin my prayers every day by thanking God. I've taught my boys to pray this way. Sometimes when I'm walking them to school, I'll tell them, guys, when you get up in the morning, you just begin to thank God. God, I thank you that I slept in a warm bed last night. Wasn't really entitled to it, even though I think I am. I slept with a roof over my head. God, I had a cup of coffee this morning. God, I'm not wondering where any of my meals are coming from today. God, I got some money in the bank. I got clothes on my back. God, I got friends. God, I got my health. God, I got a beautiful family. God, I've got purpose. God, I've got your presence in my life. And I'll tell you, as you begin to do that, it'll change your perspective. It'll change your heart. It'll change the way you see your life. It'll change the way you see your challenges. It'll cause you to recognize that everything in your life is a gift, and you won't take anything for granted, because you recognize it's all a gift from God. I'm telling you, church, it'll change your life. And so that's my simple challenge for you today. That's my simple challenge for you as we go into this Thanksgiving week. Just start giving thanks daily. Get up every morning. Begin to thank Him for all the things that you took for granted before. Because I'm telling you, there's somebody waking up in the world who doesn't have those things. Begin to thank Him for those things, and it'll hold you. It'll keep you. It'll ground you. It'll release your worship. It'll renew your mind. It'll change your perspective. It'll cause you to see everything as a gift. Church, come on, I want you to know this morning. We're kingdom citizens. We're kingdom citizens. We're people marked by gratitude. That's who we are. That's what we're called to be all throughout the scriptures. This is what the people of God are called to embody and embrace, this spirit of gratitude because of what God has done for us. Because of who He is, when we think about all that He's done, emptied the riches of heaven, He gave His one and only Son for us. We should all have this mentality. I wouldn't even be here if not for the love of Jesus. The scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were far away from Him, come on, remember the parable of the lost son. He's the Father who saw us and He ran out to meet us. That's who we are. That's our identity. We wouldn't even be here if not for God. And so let that begin to shape your heart. Circumstances change. The good and the bad, they come and go. But God's love, God's grace, His mercy, they're unchanging. They're unchanging. Come on, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know how your circumstances have changed. I don't know what life has been like for you. I don't know what kind of pressures you're experiencing, maybe financially, maybe relationally, maybe with your health, maybe with your routine being turned upside down. I don't know what kind of loneliness you're facing. I don't know what your challenges are, but I want to tell you this morning that God is good, and His mercy endures forever, and His mercies are made new to you today, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can place your trust in Him. You can place your faith in Him because He does not change. He's unshakable. He's unmovable. So what are we going to do, church? What are we going to do? Come on, one more time. We're going to rejoice always. Would you just say this out loud with me? Maybe you want to type it in the comments. Come on, just get this in your spirit. We're going to rejoice always. We're going to pray continually. We're going to give thanks in all circumstances. Come on, one more time till it gets deep down in your spirit today on this week of Thanksgiving. We're going to rejoice always. We're going to pray continually, and we're going to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning? Come on, let's just bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Let's make it personal. Wherever you are right now, wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, let's pray right now. Let's embrace this. We're going to pray into this. Father, we thank You. God, we thank You that every good gift in our life is from You. God, we thank You for the greatest gift You've ever given us, the gift of Your Son, the gift of Your love, the gift of Your grace, the gift of Your mercy, for Your healing touch, for Your presence in our lives. And Father, today we ask You to forgive us of our complaining. God, forgive us of the times that we've complained, that we haven't even recognized that many of the things that we complained about were actually the greatest gifts in our lives. Lord, today we embrace gratitude. We embrace gratitude. It's not just something we're going to do. God, it's who we are. We're Your people. We're called to be people of gratitude. And so we ask You to remind us that everything that we have in our lives is a gift. Everything's a gift. And so, Lord, we ask You to help us with this daily practice of gratitude. Lord, give us little reminders, Holy Spirit reminders, to practice gratitude despite the circumstances, to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. And Father, I pray as we do it, You renew our minds. I pray You shift our perspective. Father, I pray that it would release our worship and that we would come to see everything in our lives is a gift from our good God. Do it in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.